Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
And welcome, everybody. It is the end of the week. It's Friday. You know what that means? It's Freedom Friday, where I, your very humble radio talk show host, extend to you the freedom, because we love liberty. We celebrate it, and I extend to you that freedom to call and talk about anything political you want to talk about today. It doesn't have to be anything that I am interested in, but rather what you want to talk about. You know how easy it is to do that here at Political Coffee? You just pick up the phone. Anything's on the table. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Or send me an email to jeff@1220.am. I will try to read it on the air, absolutely. And talk about it. You know, sometimes I get some great emails from listeners, and they do stimulate conversation out there. So Kate Brown says that Oregon's death penalty is costly and immoral. As the governor signed a bill that limits its use. You got to be a terrorist and you got to kill a whole bunch of people to get on Oregon's death row. Now, never mind that we the people have passed the death penalty. And it doesn't matter that they say, well, the polls are showing that there's less support for it this day. No, that's not the issue. Does it matter how much the death penalty costs? If it's justice? What's the price of a human life, Governor? Costly and immoral. Really? It's immoral to put people to death? Where's the justice in letting them live? What do you think? 503-589-1220. Maybe it's not that you have an opinion about the death penalty, but what do you think about a governor that in essence gives you the middle finger as the voter? The people pass this thing, not the politicians. And like her predecessor, John Kitzhaber, the disgraced John Kitzhaber, she's decided that she's just not going to enforce the death penalty. That's illegal. It's unconstitutional. But, you know, nobody's taken it to court, because I don't think anybody has any faith in the Oregon Supreme Court to be anything other than a rubber stamp for every crazy far-left liberal idea that Kate Brown and the regressive totalitarian Marxists that run the legislature want. What do you think about it? What do you think about a governor? What's the price of justice? I mean, we spend hundreds of millions of dollars, and I'm not joking when I say this. We spend hundreds of millions of dollars, we the taxpayers of Oregon, to provide lawyers for people who can't afford them. Hundreds of millions. What's the cost of that? Maybe if those people made better choices and chose not to break the law, we wouldn't have to spend so much. Maybe Kate Brown would have enough money then to pay for PERS, which is eating budgets alive, which is increasing the size of classrooms, which is leading to less cops and less firefighters. Maybe she would have enough money to do that if people just chose not to break the law. Where's the issue of personal responsibility? But even more importantly, what's the price of justice? What's the price of justice for people who've been harmed? You don't get the death penalty unless you've taken a life, folks. What's the price of justice? Is it worth money? The death penalty is costly. How much more costly is it to incarcerate someone for the rest of their lives and provide them with all of the health insurance and provide them with transgender surgeries if they want them, because that's what we're doing? What's the cost of that? And how does that bring closure to anybody? How is that justice for the victims? As Kip Kinkle's victims, one of the brothers of one of his victims that he killed at that Thurston High School shooting back in the 90s, as one of the brothers of one of his victims said, victims don't get a second chance. Why should people like Kip Kinkle? So is Oregon's death penalty costly and immoral? And even if it is costly, why is it immoral to demand justice, closure to the victims' families? Only in Kate Brown's world would you think that. What do you think? 503-589-1220, 503-589-1220. Also, Kate Brown, by the way, is getting hit by the Corvallis Gazette Times with an editorial that says she takes the cap off of her veto pen. And as you get to the bottom of this thing, they quote her, "Revenge is a dish best served cold and slowly." They hit her over that comment and say, these are intemperate words that Brown might come to regret. Although you can see how she might be peeved at the state Republican, seeing how it's trying to get her recalled and all. But the governor might do well to remember that Oregonians who live in districts represented by Republicans are the very same people she has said that she wants to reach out to on climate change. This may not be the best way to start that outreach. Yeah, that's a pretty good thought, actually. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. This is Freedom Friday. You can call and talk about anything you want. Could also be this feel-good story in Statesman Journal about homeless vets getting new housing. Or how about Ron Wyden citing lies and abuses as a reason to call for impeachment inquiry into the president? Or maybe you want to talk about the 164,000 jobs created this last month in July and the lowest unemployment, like 3.6%. That's really low. Even more importantly, new people, well, people who'd given up coming back into the marketplace to work. Economy's still doing well, folks. All of this is on the table today. Let's go to the phones. We'll start with Art. Art, good morning. How are you, friend?
You always do this to me, Jeff. You know, I want to talk about something, and then you get me all riled up with your comments.
Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
let it fly,
buddy. I agree with you. I agree with you 100% about the death penalty, because anybody in their right mind knows that we don't like to kill people, but all of the people who get slaughtered, and I mean slaughtered, Jeff, you go back and look throughout history, Jeffrey Bonner, that crazy guy, and I can't remember his dang name, right here in Salem, slaughtered people. That woman here in Oregon that killed her children. I mean, the list is so long and extensive that it's just, it's just terrible. But the simple fact of the matter is that the death penalty does detour some people. Not all people, but it does deter a lot of people. I mean, it's just a proven fact. And for Kate to say, oh, that it's so expensive, well, hey, what at the expense of murder and incarceration, like you said, it's more money, Jeff. In fact, they should put these people to death a lot quicker and streamline the system, because we've made it that way. I mean, No doubt about that.
You're absolutely right about that. And Art, you're 100% correct about that. In fact, when we come back from the break that's coming up here in a little bit, I will tell you a story about how I tried to do that when I served in the House of Representatives. But what do you think, though? I mean, you talk about death penalty as a deterrent. The other side says, no, it isn't. Our side says, yes, it is. And everybody produces these stories. What do you think the average person thinks about this issue? Do they think it's right to that it's proper justice?
Well, it is, Jeff. Unfortunately, it is proper justice. And I mean, the simple fact of the matter is that nobody likes to put anybody to death, but nobody likes to see an individual torture, kill, rape, and you know, a lot of these people do that before they kill their victims. I mean, the extreme that they go to, they deserve to be, the evil deserves to be put out of their misery and sent to the place where they deserve to spend eternity, which of course is hell. But you know, Jeff, the simple fact of the matter is that, you know, Kate is making this an issue instead of, you know, doing the appropriate things to make it a better system. She would just rather criticize it. And again, she is considering individuals and saying to hell with all the victims, which, you know, it just bothers me. But I know,
well,
it bothers you.
Yeah, I mean, it ought to bother you, but if that's how you and I feel as people who've not experienced this in our families and so forth, can you imagine how people who have been victims of heinous crimes that where people have been convicted of the death penalty, can you imagine how they feel when a governor does this, says this? You know, this is a deeply emotional issue. And Art, thanks so much for your thoughts. I appreciate it.
Have
a marvelous weekend out there.
Great weekend.
You too, brother. You know, I just think, where's the justice in this? Incarcerating somebody for the rest of their lives, they still get to live. But the person or peoples whose lives they took are never going to experience the rest of their lives and all of its joys, all of its challenges and tribulations and problems. Their life is forever over. How is that closure? How is it justice to let someone live? More importantly, how is it justice to let the next gangbanger out of jail early because they murdered someone when they were a teenager? Did Kip Kinkle get out of jail, Bill? How's that justice? What do you think? It's Freedom Friday. You can talk about anything political you want. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. 620. Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 22 minutes past the top of the hour. It's Freedom Friday. We extend the freedom for you to talk about anything political you want to talk about today. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. In a moment, we'll go to Rebecca. I got an email from Avis with a great idea. If petitioners carry, this is what Avis writes. If petitioners carry register to vote apps with them, also applications, those people probably would get registered in time to sign recall ballots. And she's talking about people out there that are on their own, are just, you know, going door to door, or they're talking to people I mean, I have a about the Kate Brown recall. I mean, this whole business of Kate Brown doing so many things. You know, that long list that the gentleman from Flush Down, Kate Brown, articulated on the show when we interviewed him, the Marion County coordinator here. I'm trying to remember his name. My bad for not. Anyway, that long list is pretty impressive if you are a person like us. If you're a liberal, those are all things to celebrate. And you know, the more she does these things, you know, the fact that the liberal Corvallis Gazette Times hits Kate Brown in an editorial, making an important point. Here she is saying she wants to be the governor of everybody. She wants to be transparent. She wants to go out across the state of Oregon and talk to the rural people that shot down her main thing, cap and scam, right? She wants to go talk to them, but yet what she's doing is saying she's going to enact revenge. How does, when somebody talks about revenge, seriously, how do you feel about them? See, revenge is an ugly, nasty, negative thing. Nothing positive or good about it. Don't confuse it with justice when it comes to death penalty, folks. There's a big difference. Big difference. It's a great idea, petitioners to carry register to vote applications also, because you never know when somebody in a house or somebody that's a friend that you're talking to about the recall petition may say, hey, you know, I know somebody who's not registered to vote. Do that. Let's go to Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning. Your thoughts today?
I have many. I really wanted to call in and talk about elephants, but this is a very interesting topic. Death of Mr. Finicum was an execution, but it was without trial, and the leftists found him very inconvenient, enough so that they were willing to set up a trap for him to drive into. And there are other ones that have been executed the same way, so they really don't have an aversion to execution. It's like they pick out certain kinds of people to be their ones that don't get executed. But those of us who are conservative Christian or other kinds of people that really get their ire, they don't care if there's even a trial. So that's...
Can I talk about elephants now? No, I mean, that's a fair point. It's, of course, the comeback to that, Rebecca, as you know, is that, well, with Lavoie Finicum or any of the people, they should not have illegally taken over that refuge. Well, maybe so. But that doesn't mean that they're not, that they get to have an ambush. And there was an ambush set up because they had the state police and the FBI had somebody on the inside who was part of that group that was informing on them all the way. That's what we found out, right? So
yes, and he had his hands up from the time he came out of the vehicle. So it was an execution that was not that was anyway. I'm just,
right,
my
but,
point.
But
was
your point is that they're okay with executing people without a trial there, but not people who've actually been convicted of murdering people. Lavoie Finicum didn't kill anybody, but he got executed.
Yeah, that's correct. But heinous murderers are their favorite kinds of people to save. And that's kind of tied into the elephant topic, because I went to a hearing where there were a whole bunch of UN people that came to make a new law in Oregon to restrict the use of ivory. And I don't know if you remember when that law got passed.
Yeah.
But they made it so that you can only use 80-year-old ivory. And how can you identify ivory that's 80 years old? In that hearing, they said that they had gone to Kenya and gotten a law passed that anybody who kills an elephant goes to prison for life. So for the death of an elephant, that you can go to prison for life. But yet for human beings, often they don't seem to want to exact punishment.
I get what you're saying here
at a greater length on another day, but
it is a fascinating parallel, and I'll let you go, Rebecca. Thank you. Because how interesting, you can go to jail for life for ivory, but you can be a Kip Kinkle gangbanger wannabe, commit a murder as a teenager in Oregon under Senate Bill 1008, passed by law and signed into law by the governor. Passed by the legislature, rather, signed into law by the governor. You can be a gangbanger and you get out of jail early. You can take somebody's life, and because you were a teenager, you can get out of jail. You can take life. What's more important, human life or the lives of elephants? Great point, Rebecca. Hard to argue with that. I got a great email from Dwight. Jeff, we saw this coming, but this is going to be Oregon's downfall. As usual, Kate likes to go after the easy money. And I'm going to get into more of this email because I think it makes an interesting point that's worth sharing with you. It's the bottom of the hour, friends. It's Freedom Friday. You can call and talk about anything you want to talk about today politically. Doesn't matter what it is. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC Talk Line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. I'll be right back.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
25 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us on a Friday. And if you're just joining us, it's Freedom Friday, where I give you the freedom to just call and talk about anything political you want to talk about today. 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. You can send me an email to Jeff at 1220.am. I'm going to finish reading this email from Dwight in a moment. Let me tease you with a little more of it. Kate Brown. It could easily have been entitled Kate Brown and the Casino in Your Pocket. Let that sink in for a moment. Something else that should sink in is your opportunity to take advantage of CBD oil. See, in some ways, it really kind of is a miracle compound. It helps so many people in so many ways. With me personally, it helps me with pain from old injuries and the fact that even at my age, I am still pretty active and I run and I work out. And sometimes a little on the sore side from that, CBD oil helps. But it helps in many other ways. Certainly helping my brother with his blood pressure a lot. So why don't you go down and talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down on South Commercial right here in Salem, right next to Safeway. You see, they sell some great CBD products. It's where I buy mine. It's where you ought to sit down and chat with them about how maybe it can help you. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. Can't miss them. They're right next to Safeway, right down on South Commercial. So, Kate and the Casino in Your Pocket. So, Dwight starts off by talking about Kate liking to go after the easy money. Well, of course, when you're a big spending, far left, liberal, regressive, totalitarian Marxist, you got to make government bigger. You got to keep growing the size of government and hiring more state employees because you got to mask the disaster, the PERS Ponzi scheme. You got to do all that stuff. So she likes the easy money. She likes taxes and more of them. He starts off saying, first of all, it was marijuana. The scheme is started by whetting the appetite of medicinal marijuana. You know, the easy sell to a sympathetic electorate. Then from there, you can expand to full-scale production. How well did that work out for Kate? According to the recent article in the Statesman Journal, we now have a 6-year glut of unsold marijuana as supply heavily outweighs demand. Prices have plummeted, and no new license approvals for suppliers have been granted by the state of Oregon. Now, stop there for a moment. The legislature just passed into law a restriction on the number of suppliers of marijuana, recreational. Why? Because there's too many. There's a 6-year glut. That's the free market. That's entrepreneurship. But the state, again, the totalitarian Marxist, being who Kate and those FARC folks are, we've got to limit the supply so we can drive the price back up. Why? Because the state gets lots of tax money from the sale of recreational marijuana. That's why. So we got to make that price go higher, artificially, of course. So Dwight continues, and so goes Kate's first venture into entrepreneurship. Now let's move into legalized sports betting. Online, no less. Wow. All that money that's bet on football, not to mention other sports, got to be a gold mine, huh? Especially being able to accept bets electronically within the state. Somebody once told me, if you want to buy a gold mine, buy a gold mine. Kate is a foolish woman. We already have proof of that. Her marijuana venture didn't pan out as she hoped. So just throw more money at it. Isn't that the liberal answer? Said, I lived in Nevada for over 20 years, and I can tell you Kate's sports betting scheme is going to be confronted with a variety of problems for Oregonians. The electronic communication of today will further expedite the problems I saw in Nevada. At the time, all bets in Nevada were made in person. The number of games on television today is incredible, and apparently the state of Oregon will be accepting both debit and credit cards. An iPhone allows every sports fan to have a casino in their pocket. Lost some money on the morning games? Well, double up and catch up the afternoon games on TV. Can't get away because you're at the office? Not to worry. You're as close as your cell phone. Of course, nobody can watch a game without having a few beers and a bet or two. And the Oregon proposal will even offer the ability to make bets at halftime. Sooner or later, White writes, this type of entertainment will draw the wrong crowd to Oregon as it did in Nevada. Like you, I'm a native Oregonian. If you think the homeless problem's bad now, just wait. Weak people will be taken in by Kate Brown's scheme. After all, both the rich and poor have cell phones. Yeah, and some of the poor have cell phones provided by us. But you're saying, how can the poor bet? Oh, I'm sure they'll find a way to make the Oregon Trail card accessible sooner or later. Just like they do with cash back, which allows them to buy lottery tickets and alcohol and that kind of thing. Anyway, I digress. He continues. The people who can least afford to bet will be the ones seeking action. The casino in the pocket is too easy to use and encourages impulsive behavior. All the problems that we see happening in Portland will soon be statewide. Let the American Indians have their casinos. There's something to be said for a 45-minute drive to gamble at Spirit Mountain. It's more than an impulsive act. At least it offers a mandated cushion of sobriety when compared to Kate Brown's impetuous scheme. What are the human and family costs of such a plan based on our governor's greed? Too high. Where are we going as a society? Governor Tom McCall, where are you? The casino in your pocket. That smartphone that allow you to gamble while you're at work. Now, look, you can say if you trade stocks on your cell phone, like some of us do, isn't that kind of the same thing? Yeah, maybe. Except the state of Oregon isn't collecting massive tax revenue from it. And the state of Oregon isn't regulating how that all happens. See, that's already done by the federal government, and the state's not benefiting from it. Now, not to give Kate and the regressive totalitarian Marxists any more ideas, but now there'd be an idea, wouldn't it? Tax online stock trading. Oh, wait, that's a federal issue. Isn't it? Peter DeFazio's idea has been for a long time, make the rich people on Wall Street pay these new taxes. It ain't the people on Wall Street that'll be paying it. It's you and I, because they'll just pass on the cost to us, just like they do in everything. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. So do you think that Ron Wyden sees an advantage politically to jumping on the Trump impeachment bandwagon? There's a story in the Oregonian about how he's calling for an impeachment inquiry. He did this yesterday, saying what he sees as the president's dishonesty and dangerous conduct warrants an investigation whether impeachment is appropriate. You see, he did that in an op-ed in the Oregonian. So he says that he thinks the president has twisted thinking about the breadth of presidential powers. Now, wait a moment here. How many of Donald Trump's presidential powers, like the executive orders that he's put forward, how many of them have been stopped by the U.S. Supreme Court? Well, so far, none of them. In fact, the Supreme Court's gone the other way. Although with the one, they essentially let it stand for a bit. It'll be back to them because it's not ripe. Let's compare Senator Wyden with the president's, his executive actions, his so-called twisted thinking, compared to Barack Obama, who has had a number of his presidential powers that were thrown out by not just the Supreme Court, but by the lower courts, and some of them are still pending. Wyden says that the president's abused his authority by refusing entry to asylum seekers, attempting to obstruct the Russia election interference inquiry, failing to protect election systems from further vulnerabilities, brooding about possible war with Iran, and by pushing for government surveillance tools to be installed within smartphones. Yeah, Senator, I got news for you on all those things, especially that government surveillance stuff. It's already there. Simply put, he writes, Trump's many actions following from his twisted thinking that he enjoys unchecked power add up to a damning indictment. It's unclear, the article states, how Wyden's statements will make any effect on the support in Congress for an impeachment inquiry. Now, how well did that impeachment thing of Clinton work out? Yeah, I know it's on his record forever as an impeached governor, just like, well, rather impeached president, just like Kate Brown would be if, in fact, we get the signatures to put her governorship to a vote on the recall effort. Yeah, it does leave a black mark. But what's it do to a country? Now, clearly the Senate could hold an impeachment trial if the House finally goes there. But nobody thinks that there's enough votes there to impeach Trump. Because there aren't. And in the meantime, the economy continues to grow. Wages and salaries are continuing to go up. So how do most people view a leader's presidency or a governorship? Yeah, you may not like Trump's style. I get that. Sometimes his tweets make me cringe. But like we've talked about before, what is the ultimate end result of how a governor or a president affects your life? Isn't that kind of how you judge them? Let's go to the phones. Caller, who are you, and what do you have to say on Freedom Friday? Hi there. Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi there.
This is Kay.
Hi, Kay.
Hi. I love to listen to you. You're you bring out so many strong points that, it's unbelievable.
So what do you have to say today?
But I love President Trump. He has done more for this country than any other president since Ronald Reagan. And I'm just, it breaks my heart to see how he is so ill-treated. This world is upside down bonkers. You know, it's just, it's sickening. I just, the Lord's coming back and I know it. But Kate Brown, she really needs to go. We can't, she'll destroy Oregon.
You're right about that, Kay. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate you being in the audience and continue to believe, continue to pray. Yeah, the Lord is coming back, and we need to keep praying for this great state and for this president. It's 6:48. Back in a moment. Thanks, Kay. It's Friday, what do you want to talk about? Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. It is 10 minutes to the top of the hour. It's the last segment for today. It is Freedom Friday, your last opportunity for this week to call and to talk about anything political you want to talk about. 503-589-1220, 503-589-1220, or emails to Jeff at 1220.am. You know, it's obvious that Kay loves this country, loves this state. And she feels very strongly and very emotionally, like many of us do, that this country has been for so long headed in the wrong direction. And Kate Brown is certainly taking this state in what we think is the wrong direction. So she's willing to take a stand. Are you? I am. Yeah, Kate Brown does need to go. This state needs a lot of prayer. Kate Brown needs a lot of prayer. You know, I say that and I mean that sincerely. I pray for Kate. And that's hard for me, friends, because I served with her when I was in the House of Representatives. You know, this revenge business that she's talking about, that she's going to engage in, you know, that's Kate Brown. It's ugly. It's negative. And it is destructive. It's not a good thing. Let me tell you what is good. The celebration of liberty, of our great heritages. And we do that in many ways. We have festivals. And like tonight, for instance, I have the great honor of singing the national anthem tonight and tomorrow night at the Harrisburg Harvest Festival. We have tractor pulls and, you know, it's all about celebrating farming and agriculture and the great opportunities that exist in an agricultural community for people to come together, to work together, to do good things for other people's lives. And I'm honored to have the opportunity to sing the national anthem in respect of that flag. And that flag represents a lot to me. And I get pretty emotional about it. You know, I went to Iraq and Afghanistan as a civilian broadcaster embedded with combat infantry units, ranger units of the Oregon National Guard. The flag means something to me because when I came home from Iraq especially, I understood at a much different level the sacrifice that that flag represents. And it angers me to no end to have a company like Nike, an Oregon company, kowtow to someone like Colin Kaepernick, and in essence, agree to the proposition that the Betsy Ross flag represents racism. No, it doesn't. It represents incredible sacrifice of men and women who've given their blood so that you and I can live free, live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. It's why I'm honored to be able to sing the national anthem, because I respect that flag. And somebody else that respects it is my friend Fred Thompson. You know, he was a special operator in Vietnam with the Comancheros. He went deep behind enemy lines to support the guys that were, our guys that were behind enemy lines. It was all classified. It was all very secret. He's a patriot. He loves this country. Put his life on the line. Many of the people he served with did not come home. He knows the sacrifice of what that flag represents. The guy who loves America. You know, you've got your choice of people to do business with when it comes to life insurance needs or retirement income or leaving a legacy for your grandkids like his father-in-law did for his sons. You know, why don't you choose to do business with somebody who shares your values, believes what you believe? Fred Thompson does. Why don't you give him a call? He can come to your home or you can come to his office. He can help you have a better life, leave a better legacy, because that's important too. Because that flag represents the legacy of so many Americans, so many who gave it all for us. 503-428-7479 is Fred's number, 503-428-7479. You know, when people serve us in veterans, you know, and they go to war, and you know, I was thinking about this last night. I was out working around the farm, and I was thinking about some of the guys that I was in Iraq with, especially, that were, you know, that's an Oregon National Guard mission. And many of the guys that were there were older, in their 40s and their 50s. And they had families. And they had to go to combat. And they had to, I mean, I listened to fathers tell me about having to shoot and kill guys that were trying to kill them, that were the age of their teenage sons. Now, if you don't think that doesn't mess with your brain, it does. And these guys shared that with me, how hard it was for them to deal with that, reconcile that. Some of those guys come home and they can't stay with their families. They get divorced. We had a huge divorce rate in the unit that I was with. Some of them come home and become homeless. That, to me, is just almost unthinkable. We owe those folks an incredible just devotion and to take care of them. Well, there's a great story in the Statesman Journal about these new apartments that have been built for homeless veterans. That, to me, is a really good thing. And, you know, as you spend your weekend and you get to enjoy some time off from work and the fruits of your labor, maybe you go out to the lake, maybe you're just going to barbecue with friends, whatever you're doing, you can do that because this is a great country. And because our system of free enterprise and governance produces the prosperity, the liberty that so many veterans, men and women, have sacrificed so much for, is there for you and I to enjoy. And just think about that this weekend. Everything that is good in your life is because men and women came to this country to escape religious and political persecution and endured incredible hardships to build the nation, and then to give us the opportunity to live free. Because they believe strongly that we have rights as human beings that don't come from government, but come from God. And they're willing to fight for them. We should be willing to take care of men and women who pay that incredible sacrifice through the VA and especially homeless veterans. It's a good thing. I'm glad we're doing it. Thank you all for listening. We do podcast this show. Go to kslm.news and look at the podcast, and you can find my name. And you can listen to these shows later on. Thanks for listening. Be blessed, all of you. Make it a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday.